Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to look at what Jude taught about hating the polluted garment. So let's read Jude verse 23 again together. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now, over the last several broadcasts, we've gone over the issue of hate, and today I want us to focus on just how we are to obey what Jude says here. We say all the time that God's word is true and that we believe every single word that is in the Bible. Well, this is in the Bible. The Bible says right here that we are to hate the garment that is polluted by the flesh. So how do we do that? Do we actually hate in the sense that this is the kind of hate that is the opposite of love? Do we literally hate the garment that is polluted by the flesh? What Jude is telling us here is that we have to learn how to hate sin. We have to learn how to hate it in all of its forms because it is false teaching that encourages us to pollute our garments. It is heresy that teaches us to put wrinkles in our garment. But the only garments that can stand before God are the garments that are clean, without spots or wrinkles. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. So Peter didn't say here that we are to lay back and just coast our way into heaven. No, no. Peter didn't say that we could just sit on our double wides and say, bless God, I'm saved and I don't have to worry about all that. No, Peter said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we are to be diligent, that we are to be alert, be awake, be aware, be strong, be faithful, so that we may be found how? So that we may be found by God in peace with what kind of garment? A garment that is without spot and blameless. Now this is what it says. So I ask you, is your garment spotless and blameless, or has it been polluted by the world? Has your garment been polluted by the sinful friends that you hang around with? What about the worldly music that you listen to? Does it put spots on your garment? Has your garment become spotted through the nasty words that come out of your mouth and the nasty thoughts that come from your heart? Has your garment been polluted by the fact that you live and walk and function every day in unforgiveness? What about the spots of pride and arrogance and greed and lust? What about those nasty books that you've been reading on the side? Do you think that they pollute your garment? You see, my beloved, the fact is that we tolerate sin in our lives precisely because we do not hate it. We do not despise our sin, and therefore we become familiar with our sin. We do not hate it, and so we become acquainted with it. We have bought into the lie that because we sin, that somehow God doesn't mind, or that God understands, or that Jesus came and died so that when we sin, we won't feel guilty about it. Or that grace means that God doesn't care about sin like he used to. Or that because I'm saved, I have my ticket punched, and now I have a license to do anything I'm big enough to do, or some other perversion of truth like that. I have heard people tell me that because they went down front, because they walked the aisle, or because they shook the preacher's hand, or because they got baptized, they believe that they can now live any way they want to live, and it's all just fine with Jesus. Let me be the first one to break the news to those of you who think like this, that you are deceived. Being saved means that you no longer belong to yourself. Being saved means that Jesus Christ owns you. He bought you and he owns you, lock, stock, and barrel, and that you are now a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being saved means that you go where he wants you to go, that you do what he wants you to do. You say what he wants you to say. You live as he tells you to live. Jesus said that if you love him, you would obey him. And if you live in constant, ongoing rebellion to God's word, you're only proving that you do not belong to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have taken these things way too flippantly in our modern time. We minimize God's hatred of sin, and therefore we do not see the horror of sin, nor do we see the terror of the Lord. We need to be constantly reminded about the fact that God is very serious about how we live and what we do and what we think and what we believe. And unless we become as serious about our sin as God is, unless we begin to look at sin the same way that God looks at sin, until you and I begin to hate our sin the way God hates sin, we will continue to engage in it. Now, I've been in a lot of prayer meetings over the time. I've been in prayer meetings where God's Spirit was so thick you could cut it with a knife. I have heard God's precious people give their prayer requests for over 43 years. We pray for this one going to the hospital and that one who has a sore knee, and we pray about Susie's surgery and Aunt Bessie's bad back, and we need to do all of that because God is concerned about Susie and Aunt Bessie. But I seldom ever hear a prayer request given about hating sin. It is very rare that anyone asks about things like this anymore. Why is that? Don't we all deal with sin every day? Isn't our sin our biggest problem in this life? Wouldn't it be better if we could be more convicted over our sin? Wouldn't it we all be more pleasing to the Lord if we treated sin as though it were really that bad? Wouldn't we all sin less if we hated sin more? Are we trying to suggest that we don't have a sin problem because we never mention it in our prayer requests? Is that what our silence means? Don't you think that if we are ever to hope to begin to hate the garment that is polluted by the flesh, don't you think we need to try to pray that God will grant us a right view, a correct view, a biblical view of sin and the horror of it? I suppose that we run about 90-10 in our modern prayer meetings today. We spend about 90% of our prayer time praying about temporary and material and earthly and physical things that are passing away, and only about 10% of our prayer time is about permanent and eternal and spiritual and heavenly and celestial things. But it wasn't always that way. Go back in church history and read what people prayed about during the early years of the church. It was just the opposite. They prayed about 90% of the time about eternal matters and only about 10% of the things that have to do with this life. When it was against the law to be a Christian, when persecution against the church was at an all-time high, when getting saved could very well cost you your life, read what the early church prayed about. They didn't pray about their own safety. They didn't pray about becoming comfortable and having more stuff and about how much God owed them or even about their physical ailments. No, let's you and I sneak into one of their prayer meetings and let's listen to how these men of God pray. Pray, turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 33. And when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through your name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place they had were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. But all things were common property to them, and with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. Now that's a prayer meeting. Now I want you to keep in mind what happened just prior to that kind of praying. Back in the first 22 verses of chapter 4, the evil rulers had arrested Peter and the rest of the apostles and had put them into prison overnight. The next day they grilled them over the power of God that these apostles had manifested. when given the opportunity. Peter didn't talk about how unjustly they had been treated, but he used this opportunity to preach the gospel to his tormentors. Peter confronted these men with their own sins and preached the gospel to them, never one time asking to be set free. And without writing a letter to the governor asking for mercy or intervention or by politicking or by boycotting Roman stores or to get the right judge on the Supreme Court. No, Peter simply preached the gospel to those who were against him. Next, the rulers commanded the apostles to never again preach in the name of Jesus. And Peter responded by telling these rulers that they needed to know that he was going to obey God and not them. And in verse 21, the Bible says that the evil rulers threatened them further. Now, this is the term that means that they beat them with rods. So here the apostles of the Lord, they had been arrested, thrown in jail, beaten, and commanded to never preach again in the name of Jesus. It was in this setting that they had that prayer meeting that we just read. Now notice very carefully what they did not pray about in this prayer meeting. They never mentioned their wounds. They never prayed about how unfair and unjust their arrest had been. They never made one word to God about where he was when all this trouble had come upon them. But what did they ask God to do? In spite of being unfairly treated, in spite of being beaten with rods, in spite of being arrested and threatened, and in spite of being commanded by the government to never preach again in the name of Jesus, how did the apostles pray? Verse 29 says, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant," here's what they prayed, "that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence." With absolutely no regard for how this was going to impact their own lives personally, and in direct defiance to a governmental prohibition to never preach again, the apostles prayed that the word of God could be preached from their mouths with all boldness. Now, during the Civil War, President Lincoln called the entire nation to a three-day fast to repent of the sins of the country because he knew and everybody else knew that the reason that the country was at war was because they had forgotten God. All throughout our nation's history, men of God called the nation in individual states and particular cities to fast and pray and repent when the crops would fail and when the murder rate went up and when adultery went on a rampage and when the saloons were full and when the parking lot at the church was half empty during Bible studies and prayer meetings, because they knew and everybody else knew that God was not pleased and that judgment was upon them, and God heard their cry and God forgave their sin and God healed their land. And I tell you that the sin of this nation has reached up into heaven, and God has dropped the hedge of protection that was around this nation, and evil men now have access to hurt us real bad. And it is time to once again grab the horns of the altar. It is time again to weep between the porch and the altar. It is time to repent of our backsliding and our lukewarmness and our covetousness and our arrogance and of loving sin and loving pleasure more than God. And it is time for us to seek God's face, to cry aloud and spare not and lift up our voice like a trumpet, that God would have mercy upon us and that God would cause us to return to our first love and begin again to love the things that God loves and to hate the things that God hates. Brothers and sisters, it is high time for us to begin to examine our garments to see if they are polluted, to see if they're wrinkled, to see if they're blemished, to examine our hearts, to examine our lives, to see if we are in the faith, and to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and to hate the garment that has become polluted by the flesh. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.